This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, here's a fun old controversial political type story that we'll get into for a second, I suppose. The Supreme Court on Tuesday upheld state laws barring transgender girls and women from playing on school athletic teams. And according to ESPN, saying another setback for transgender people. The court's six-justice conservative majority, which has repeatedly ruled against transgender Americans in the past, according to ESPN, it's very, very slanted here, right? Can't you just kind of hear it. Ruled that state bans in Idaho and West Virginia do not violate the Constitution. The court unanimously agreed that barring transgender girls and women also doesn't run afoul of the federal law known as Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in education. Now, Mike, unpack all that. That's a fun topic to talk about on a Tuesday.
I mean, if you like wanted to go deep into it, like, look, trans women and women need to be respected as human beings. However, if you put a trans woman on a woman's team, like physically, there are differences between biological women and biological men.
Yeah.
And if you transition, your bone structure doesn't suddenly become smaller.
I mean,
like it sucks for women. For
right.
men, it's not as bad. For women, it's just a horrible
thing. Because a trans transgender woman is a man that is becoming a woman, correct?
I believe so.
Is that okay? I just want to make sure I'm 100% on that one. How many times have I said college sports is not a right? So, and I'm not comparing the Brendan Sorsby stuff to this, but how often do we act like it's just a right? You get to play. There are parameters in place, and if a biological male who was male at one point goes through that process of becoming a woman, they still have those male traits as far as athleticism and such. And if you think it's sexist for me to say this, the fastest man alive is faster than the fastest woman alive by a substantial margin. The strongest man alive is stronger than the strongest woman alive by a substantial margin. So when you take great athletes, which we all assume if you make it to Division I and you're playing college sports, you're a pretty solid athlete, right? You're not the greatest, but you're damn good. And then we suddenly say that man is going to become a woman and now play women's sports. Listen, we can say it out loud. The NBA players are faster, stronger, can jump higher, can do all that stuff, they can do that better than the WNBA players. Am I wrong?
It's controversial, but it's not wrong.
It's fact. I mean, they don't dunk it like they do in the NBA because their athleticism and they're taller. It's how it is. So if you take someone that is going through these procedures or whatever they are and then wants to still play on the sport, I would think that would give them an advantage in most situations. That would give the transgender woman an advantage in most situations.
The best example of this is Serena Williams. Serena Williams, one of the comparatively best athletes of all time,
yeah.
Dominated her sport. Like, she was sports person of the year for a reason. She was just that.
She's coming back, too.
Dominant.
Yeah.
She would lose to the average male tennis player.
Would she? That I don't know. That I honestly don't know. And I'm asking the question. I'm not trying to start a debate. I don't know. Because she's, like, really freaking good.
She is.
Like,
she's
really
very
good. Yeah. I don't know. Like, average pro tennis player, male? Average male pro tennis player? Is that what you're saying? Serena Williams would struggle against, like, an average pro male tennis player? And again, I don't think a lot of people have a problem with a woman playing in the field of men if they can do it. But again, biologically, take 10 stud men athletes and 10 stud women athletes and take stud man athlete, turn him into a woman athlete. He's probably going to win most of those battles. It's just how it is, and it shouldn't be controversial, but somehow it is. Yes, Michael.
I've never heard of the guy Karsten Brosch, but he was the only male to defeat Serena Williams, and that happened in the 1998 Australian Open. Now, I think Serena Williams got better over the years.
I think tennis is a different sport, too. Listen,
is the perfect sport, I think, to compare it to, because you have two really, really good athletes having to run, stop, jump. Like, it is a great comparison.
I don't think it's a great comparison. I think basketball is a great comparison. Where you go.
It's another great comparison.
Because you go, is Caitlin Clark as good as Steph Curry? The answer is no.
As far as accuracy goes, like, if she was as accurate as him,
she also shoots with a smaller basketball.
Would probably be the better athlete.
She shoots with a smaller basketball.
He's playing bigger athletes. He's playing against bigger men. And that's not to diminish the accomplishment of what women have done in sports over the years.
It's just calling it what it is. Let's be factual here. The best NBA basketball player is by far better than the best WNBA basketball player.
And anyone who says otherwise, I either doesn't know all the facts or is just patting themselves on the back for being a good person.
Who's the best basketball player in the WNBA? Caitlin Clark, right? Or is that even true? I don't know. I'm saying it because that's the only player I know right now. Who's the best NBA player in the NBA? Is it Shea? Do we want to say Shea? Do we want to say Joker?
Let's say Joker.
Okay. Is Caitlin Clark beating Joker in one-on-one? The answer is no.
Can she shoot from the three-point line every time?
Yeah, she could. She better make them all.
Yeah, because she's not getting around them. And again, she is a phenomenal
amazing
athlete.
Amazing, yes. But there are also sports where, like, you know, I look at, as far as popularity goes, like, I just, like, women's volleyball is amazing. They are stud athletes. If you were to start letting dudes play in their leagues, how does that look? And I'm asking the question.
That has happened before. And the trans women suddenly became really good. If you look at all these sports,
what do you mean?
Trans women, like, they tend to be better than regular women and girls athletically.
Because they're dudes.
That says nothing about them as
guys,
people.
Right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
so obviously they would be better athletes.
Who became a female.
Correct, yeah.
Tends to be better, tends to run faster, tends to hit the ball better.
Than the women that are just, like, women?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Correct. Because it's a man athlete becoming a female athlete. So if he's a good enough male athlete to make it to college, but then makes a transition and now is playing women's sports, I would just say, yeah, he's probably better. I mean...
It is. Women and men are different. There are biological differences. Women are stronger in some ways than men. Men are stronger in other ways than women.
I don't think we're disagreeing. It's obvious. The strongest man is stronger than the strongest woman. The fastest man is faster than the fastest woman.
And the real sexist person out there is the one that says trans women can play in the same sport with biological women and there's no difference.
Because that's
because
not right.
You're hurting the rights of women.
Yeah.
And this is a very tough subject because, like, if you're transitioning and you still want to play sports, there's kind of no place that you can go to. There aren't enough trans people to play in whatever sport.
Faye says, I'd say Aja Wilson. And no, there is no comparison in many sports. Now, I would say a woman could beat a man professionally, but not – are you saying not tennis? Not soccer, maybe volleyball, can just depend on the sport. Well, and let's not kid ourselves. Like, the fastest women alive are faster than most men. Like, the ones that are competing in the Olympics – they're probably faster than just most men, but are they faster than the other ones at their level, at their professional level? They're not. They're not close. So when we talk about Division I athletes, you have to say they're all Division I athletes. A Division I male athlete, and if he's a trackster, he's going to be faster or better at that sport. If it's track, is he going to throw a shot put further? Who's going to throw a shot put further? A male or a female? A male, right? A male that transitions to a woman, going to throw that shot put further.
Even Caitlyn Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, would agree with this conversation. And that person's probably the best person to comment on it because he was he, now he is she. And
true,
he
true.
Was one of the best
and again,
athletes.
Like,
he won gold in the Olympics.
To be fair, like, take a stud Division I basketball player that's a woman. Does that mean she can't beat one-on-one any Division I men's basketball player? No. If she's the cream of the crop, we're talking like top 10, top 20, top 30 even, can they beat a good chunk of Division I men's basketball player size, obviously dependent on this conversation? Potentially. But if we're just talking like, when we talk about the unfairness portion of it, straight swap, male athlete plays basketball for whatever college. Goes through some stuff, whatever, decides he wants to make a transition. He is now a woman. Then decides to still play college, but now on the women's team. That's not right. And to make it fair and clear, you have to put a very thick line right down the middle. Doesn't matter if you actually couldn't beat the women, you can't do it. Because it does set an unfair precedent.
In a way, it's not fair to the trans athletes who still want to play. But they're just... it's. You either screw over all women,
I mean,
which we shouldn't be doing.
I get that, Mike, and saying like it's not fair because they want to play. I wanted to play too. Unfortunately, they didn't make a 5'10", you know, kind of fast in high school, but nothing once he got into college. They didn't make that league. So life ain't fair. If you're a really good male athlete, you can have a shot to play Division I sports. If you're a really good female athlete, you can have a shot to play Division I sports. But you can't go to the Division I male level and decide, I can't make it there, or whatever. You go through your stretch, your mental stuff, whatever you're dealing with, and you become a woman. There's no league for you right now. Should they create a league? Go for it. Go for it. But there's no league. And it does present unfair competition in many avenues, maybe not every single avenue, but some. 12:18 the time. Let's talk Rockies. I do want to hit NBA stuff, too, because the Trailblazers made some monster moves, and it sounds like LeBron James, Mike, he's coming back, but not as a Laker. He will not be a Laker next year, at least based on the information we have. Spencer Smith coming up next, though. DNVR Rockies. Where are the Rockies right now? Will they actually trade Hunter Goodman? Who would get them a haul right now? We'll talk about it coming up next.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Rockies lose last night to the Marlins 10-7, now 33-52 on the season. Joining us, as he does every week, to document this season, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. Spencer, before we talk any baseball, man, we got to talk about the wheels, bro. The wheels that you showcased. Where did it come from? My goodness, it was amazing.
Brother, I was stretching for 15 minutes before that in the tunnel. They came and grabbed me. It was kind of funny because I was with my wife and my two kids. So they came and grabbed me in about the start of the second inning, and they said, you run at the end of the third. So I just left my wife high and dry with both kids to do that. And she actually ended up trying to videotape it. But my toddler, ended up falling through the chair.
Oh, no.
As he was trying to stand up on the chair. So her video is me running for like 2 seconds and then just drops on the ground.
That might be another side video to have to see. But I'm watching, you know, what DNVR Rockies posted. And, man, you're cooking, dude. The stretching is great advice because I participated in a dumb race not long ago and didn't stretch. And I'm still paying for that, man. I still have like a pull going on and it's not good. So good on you to do the right thing.
Yeah. I was getting legit nervous about just the not the running part, running in front of, you know, 20,000 people or whatever. It was, am I going to pull a hamstring? Because I stretch extensively for my Wednesday night softball games. I was like, this is a dead sprint, and I never dead sprint when I play softball. So I was running laps in the tunnel. I was stretching out the calves, stretching out the hamstrings, the quads, doing everything I could, and I actually felt pretty good, but I'm a little sore today.
Well, I thought maybe you were warming up to you know, give it a try with the Rockies, man. I mean, I'm sure somebody's going to get that footage to you know, Paul and Warren and the whole staff.
Well, I've been getting a little heavier lately, so I don't think the body type build is exactly what they're
power
looking
hitter.
For. Maybe
power hitter, yeah, man.
Exactly. I was hoping when they came and grabbed me, I was hoping it was for the Southwest fly ball catch things, because I would have done that pretty easily. But then they're like, oh, no, you're going to run. I'm like, okay, well, it's time to get warmed up.
They didn't tell you ahead of time. You just kind of had to, they kind of just surprise you with what you're going to be doing.
Yes. They took me down the tunnel, and they're like, here you go. We'll hop out at the end of the third inning. And I was like, all right, here we go. Let's do it.
I loved it, man. Well done by you. Rockies lose last night 10-7, getting some runs put together for sure. First question I have, just thinking of, and I want to talk about Sullivan too, but Senzatella, he's had a couple of rough goes lately. Now, you and I talked about the trade stock for him. Is there a concern if the Rockies are still planning on moving him? What does that trade stock actually kind of do when you look at it and go, wow, he found his place, he's been really good, but maybe has had a couple of rough goes lately?
Yeah, I think, you know, what we as fans and people watching the games night over night, we tend to overreact to the level of a value for trade for a player. And I think Senzatella has put enough on paper this year to still be regarded as one of the, if not the highest bullpen pitcher on that list of trade targets. The Rockies definitely want to move off him, move off his salary, get younger in the bullpen. And he's given them a reason to get back a much better haul than they would have. I mean, last year they couldn't have even considered trading him for a bag of peanuts and Cracker Jacks and maybe a buy one, get one free hot dog. But this year there's a legit pitcher there, and I think although his ERA went from 2.25 to all the way up to 3.07 yesterday, I think enough teams that have been in on him for the entire year, number one, realize how good he's been, but number two, realize that, you know, it's Coors Field and sometimes it just doesn't go your way. I mean, the hit that really broke his back was the two out kind of, I guess, triple by Sanoa, and if TJ Rumfield is 1 foot to the left, it's a simple line out to the first baseman. I mean, he just kind of ended up in a bad spot. Turns out to be a bases clearing triple and really blows the game wide open and shoots his ERA up. So not saying he didn't give up the runs. He obviously did. And you don't want to see that from a guy that you're looking to trade. But I think overall his body of work has really put him in a good spot and put the Rockies in a good spot to be able to make a move at the deadline and get some pieces back for the farm system.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see what they do. It's hard when you see really exciting nights and you see what a lot of these hitters can do, what potentially the outfield could look like as far as depth. There is that part of my brain that's like, I look at everybody on the roster and I know Hunter Goodman would get you a haul right now with the way he's playing, with the way he is hitting. But it's really hard for me, and I get it. That's probably what keeps getting us into this mess, but it's hard for me to pick guys out that I would actually like to see go.
Yeah, it does get tougher and tougher, especially since with what we dealt with last year and watching the team lose 119 games to this year, yes, they are, you know, 30 and 52. I think you said at the beginning of the segment, I can't remember the exact record, but they're still the worst team in baseball record-wise, right? And so if you're looking and you're watching and you're a fan, you've watched over the years, this looks insanely better than last year. And you've seen big hits from Troy Johnston and Tyler Freeman, and you've seen guys, you know, burst onto the scene like Cole Carey, and you kind of get this affinity for them and you don't want them to leave. But, you know, I've already, as much as I loved Ryan McMahon and he was kind of the stalwart Rocky during the really, really bad times the past 4 years, I've already kind of forgotten about him and his trade to the Yankees. So it does hurt, and it will hurt at the trade deadline because we've had, you know, some good moments with these players and feel like they're building something. But I really do think they need to trade a good amount of their, especially outfield pieces, because it's so crowded out there. You've got Zach Veen breaking down the door at Albuquerque. Same with Charlie Comden, your top pick from a couple of years ago. And there's just not room for all these outfielders and these guys to be able to play consistently day over day. And when you call up a Zach Veen and you call up a Charlie Comden, much like Cole Carrig, you have to have him in the lineup. You're not going to call up a guy, a young guy that you hope is part of your successful future, and let him sit on the bench the whole time and play guys like Mickey Moniak or Troy Johnston over them. So while you mentioned the Hunter Goodman trade, we actually did our entire show this morning, and one of our segments was, do we or do we not trade Hunter Goodman? And I tried to be in the middle, and I tried to take both sides of the argument. But Hunter is one of those players, like you said, that is a homegrown talent. You've created this, you moved in positions, you've created an all-star catcher that's going to hit probably 50 to 60 bombs this year, and has starting to have some star power in this city. And once he goes, and this is, you know, this is not confirmed yet, but once he competes in the home run derby this year, and you really get to see him on a stage of his second straight all-star appearance, he's got a silver slugger under his belt. I think it's a guy that Rockies fans can hold on to and be like, hey, this is our guy, much like Charlie Blackmon was for, you know, 10 plus seasons here. It's like, this is our guy. We're going to keep him. We're going to build around him. And that's how I feel about Hunter Goodman. Although you would get a haul for him, it is a little scary to trade that guy away. And it makes it even easier to not trade him away, considering you have so many tradable assets on your team that you should handle first. One being Senzatella, and then really a combination of any of the guys I just mentioned, whether it's Jake McCarthy, who's had a great year getting traded, Mickey Moniak, who's had a great start to the year and then got hurt, him getting traded, a Troy Johnston teams could find a place for, Willie Castro, Edward Julian. There's a lot of players, you know, not TJ Rumfield and not Hunter Goodman. Those are your guys that you kind of want to build around going forward.
Well, and Goodman has just been ridiculous right now. What is the home run total? What is it? 26? Is that what it is?
26 as of now. Yeah. He's got 5 in the last 6 games.
It's insane.
So he's been absolutely mashing the ball. And teams know, like, you can strike him out. Obviously, the guy is up there in the league in strikeouts. But if you're trying to sneak a fastball up past him, it's not going to end up well for you. Or if you throw one of those cement mixer sliders across the middle of the plate, like Victor Vodnik ended up doing yesterday to Griffin Conine, then Hunter's going to hit it a long way. He's going to get you for 420, 430 every single time.
Spencer, what's the number as far as like a number of players that you see the Rockies actually moving by the trade deadline? Is there a number in your mind?
My mind is set on 3 right now. My mind is set on 3 major leaguers. And I said this morning, 3 major leaguers in Senzatella, and then you pick your poison of any of the outfielders not named Cole Carrig. It could be a Brenton Doyle, could be a Jordan Beck, who is now quote-unquote healthy again. He's back down in AAA. He needs to earn his spot back on the major league roster, which is great. But pick your poison of any of the 2 outfielders that teams could use, and then Senzatella, and you need to get a minimum 4 prospects back, all of the pitching variety, and ideally probably 3 of those 4 need to be a team's top 30 prospect.
Interesting. Well, we'll see kind of how it shakes up for this team. But, you know, as you said, bottom line is they're still really bad. It's just they were so bad the last 2 years that this kind of looks good. So it's confusing to people like me, Spencer. It's just it's a weird time for Rockies fans.
Right. What I said to a buddy at work today, I said, you can't say they're not bad but you can't say they're not getting better either. You know, it's just a weird stance that they're in, and the bar is set insanely low. But I mean, imagine if this team was 3 or 4 wins better at this point last year. I think this point last year, I don't know if they'd still gotten their 10th win yet. You know, it's insane the difference of where they're at last year compared to this year. So it's going to take growing pains. It's going to take years. It's going to take steps. But the signs all point to positive movement from the team. And one thing I'm really looking forward to as well is this trade deadline. You know, when you think about the Rockies trading a piece like Hunter Goodman, it almost freaks you out because you have so much PTSD over the past years of either, number one, the Rockies not trading a guy and then him faltering the next season and you lose him for nothing. See their prior catcher, Elias Diaz, who was an NL All-Star MVP at one point, and then he ends up going to the Padres for nothing because he fell off considerably. Or you're worried that the Rockies front office won't be able to use their leverage and get back in a trade. Like, they're going to get fleeced, right? That's what everybody thinks. So the Rockies, if you call the Rockies, you're going to get fleeced, or you're going to fleece them, essentially. You're going to be able to take one of their best players and you're going to be able to give up little to nothing in return. Well, the hope is that the new front office changes that whole dichotomy of, hey, we're here, we know we have some good players, but we're not just going to take any offer just to take it. We're going to shop around, we're going to make calls, and we're going to get the best prospects that also fit what we're trying to do here and fit the timeline of what we're trying to do here to bring up through our system and hopefully build, you know, this sleeping giant into more of a powerhouse come 2028 or 29, whenever that is.
That's the goal, man. Spencer, appreciate it, man. Always look forward to your insight and these conversations here and you know, breaking down the Rockies for us, my friend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thanks so much, Brady. I'm going to go take my second set of Advil for the day for these sore legs.
Yeah, take care of yourself, man. It might hurt, even with the stretching. It might hurt for a while, but be good, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, Brady. You too.
Michael, this was an interesting one. So Hunter Goodman now has now tied Todd Helton in home runs in the first half of the season with 26. He tied Todd Helton. He is now only trailing Larry Walker. Here's what he had to say about that mark. Second clip, I think.
It's super cool. I mean, you look up on the out and right center and you see their numbers in the Hall of Fame. So anytime you're mentioned with like that caliber of player, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, and again, if they trade Hunter Goodman, I'm going to be really, really disappointed. There's a lot of guys on this team that are like, he's not my favorite, but the home runs are certainly wonderful. So he's at, Larry Walker had 27 home runs in 2021 before the break, 27. So is that right? Because the stat I read in the Post, Mike, says that Hunter Goodman tied Helton's record and is just trailing Larry Walker. But what I was looking up here is Walker had 27 and 21 in 2001 and Helton had 27. So I don't know. Either way, one more home run ties him for the most home runs in the first half of a season. And then obviously getting a second would break that record. There's 4 million records in baseball. So here's Warren Schaefer, Rockies manager, talking about Senzatella, who's had kind of an up and down last few outings. Here's what he had to say about his guy.
I think Senza was one pitch away from putting up a zero there. Senza's throwing the ball fine. I think he's just going through a period here, a very, very small period, where they're finding some barrels against him. Other than that, I mean, he had Sanoja 1-2. He went and got a heater up out over and you know, put up 3 runs there. So no wavering confidence at all in Antonio Senzatella. 0. He's still one of the best relievers in the league.
Still one of the best relievers in all the league.
I mean, that's a compliment. That's faith in your player, and glad he has his players back.
It is, but it's also strategic, Michael. You know, you want to be saying that if you move him, that, yeah, we believe he's one of the best closers. You better pay. You better give us something good. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's get into some NBA news coming up. Also, the Joker dynamic. If Let's just say Joker really is playing this game of, I want to see what you guys do in the offseason before I make a decision on signing the contract. Small chance, big chance, whatever. Let's say he does do that. And they're like, hey, we think trading Jamal Murray to Jaylen Brown would be the move. Would essentially Joker have to sign off on that and have to sign off on his guy being shipped out of Denver? Think about that for a moment. That would be an interesting dynamic, I suppose, in the league. 38 after the hour, though, Mike. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I have a great idea for you tonight. Fort Collins Foxes. Big game tonight. They play the Hayes Larks out of Hayes, Kansas, one of the top summer collegiate teams in the country. They're 16-1, and they have several D1 kids. Tonight, they're hosting them. They're going to have a live band who will be doing a pregame concert starting at 5:30, and then they're going to play throughout the game, too. First pitch is at 6:05. It's also Fox's four-pack night. Four tickets, four drinks, four dogs for $40. Check them out online at FortCollinsFoxes.com. Be a perfect summer night to go out and watch some foxes in action and especially get great deals.
Especially if you have like several four-year-olds.
Yes.
It's the four night.
Ah, yeah, but it's not an age restriction thing. You can be any age and take advantage.
I know,
advantage
but just like
this,
it would,
Mike.
You're taking your four-year-olds on four night.
Oh, yeah. Maybe get a special discount or something?
If they have a jersey, get a jersey that has four on it.
So
I don't know if they sell jerseys.
The Memphis Grizzlies on Monday traded Ja Morant to the Trail Blazers in a move that is just crazy. And now Memphis is just they're starting all over. The Trail Blazers sent Jeremy Grant, former Nugget, and Chris Murray to the Grizzlies to complete the deal. Ja Morant said, or the Grizzlies, excuse me, said 12. Thank you for every highlight, every memory, every unforgettable moment, and for all you've given this team, this community, and this city. Memphis has now traded those franchise cornerstones, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. They were swept by the Thunder in the first round of the 2025 playoffs. Since then, they said, we can't win like this. Plus, Ja Morant did his stuff and was pretty controversial player so far. Especially the last couple of years. But now, Memphis, I mean, they got Cameron Boozer. They're going to build around him. That was the number three pick in the 2026 draft. But now for the Blazers, it'll be interesting. It's a fairly young team. Had their first playoff appearance since 2021. They have some stud players, but a backcourt in Portland. It seems kind of crowded. You have Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard, who returned to the franchise on a three-year deal after being waived by the Bucks, which that was a weird story. So where does Ja Morant fit in with that backcourt? And does that mean Portland would then try to move a guy like Drew Holiday? That will be interesting to me. Yesterday, the news of the day around the Warriors with their planning a pursuit of LeBron James in free agency and Anthony Davis via trade this week. Now we hear that LeBron James, it's official. He will continue his NBA career, but he has informed the Los Angeles Lakers that the franchise can move on without him because he will play elsewhere. According to Clutch Sports CEO Rich Paul, told ESPN that. So LeBron's going to be, Michael, think about this, man. Got drafted by Cleveland. Didn't win there, so he went to Miami. That was the whole not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. They won two championships. Then he goes back to Cleveland. got a championship there. Then he leaves, goes to L.A., did get a Mickey Mouse organization championship in the bubble, and now he's going to be on his fifth team. How much does that hurt his legacy? I mean, when we do the Michael Jordan Lakers or the Michael Jordan LeBron James debate, yeah, Jordan went to Washington because he retired and then came back, but that's not.
Didn't he also own Washington?
No, it was the, wasn't it Charlotte? It was Charlotte.
Might have been. I don't remember who exactly he bought, but man, that guy's got a lot of money.
He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of money.
Even after his divorce.
Yeah. I think it does. I mean, obviously, this LeBron James debate is always going to be there. He's won, how many championships has he won? Four? Three, if you don't count the bubble. I don't count the bubble. I don't count what the Nuggets did in the bubble. They were historic in the bubble. They came back from being down 3-1 twice in a row. It doesn't count. It's the bubble. It counts for the bubble, but not real life.
I remember you and I discussing this. Like, everything that happened in 2020 and 2021,
even football,
people are going to question. Doesn't matter if you won a national championship. People are going to say, yeah, oh, there's no crowd. It's different.
It's weird. Different. It's all different.
Some people decided
not to
play. And the
NBA's was more extreme, Mike, because they were, like, in a resort. So they weren't traveling at all. You know, they get done with the game.
Same with the NHL.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot different. Travel's a big thing. And crowds and all that. It's a big thing. He said, Chris, Michael, what if one's birthday is that day and you turn 44? That would be extra special. Are you only 43?
What are you talking about? I'm 45.
He said, Chris thought you were 43. That you were maybe turning 44 tonight. Is there something we should know?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he's talking about the four deal that you're talking about with the Fort Collins Fox.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay, if you're, yes, I get it now.
He's saying if one's birthday is on that. So he's not specifically talking about you, but maybe he was trying to fish.
I thought he was talking about me.
Maybe he's trying to fish and bring it and see how old you are and when your birthday was. Because no one knows when your birthday was. And I try to tell people you don't have a birthday.
I was just, it existed.
You just somehow, the station began in 19, what, 20?
21, I think.
And pieces of you, elements of you started to construct and form themselves.
Kind of like Dr. Manhattan. And like I formed myself and
Dr.
then you can
Manhattan.
Destroy me, but I will learn how to form myself again.
49 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Seriously, guys, check out the Fort Collins Foxes, fortcollinsfoxes.com. I have some Stampede tickets to give away in the final hour of the show. Dierks Bentley. Big show coming up at the Greeley Stampede. Thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Keep it here on the whole show. We'll be right back.
The Greeley Stampede is almost here. And KFKA has you covered. Here's stories, rodeo coverage, and winsome tickets on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, coming up in the final hour of the show, Mike, we're going to get to Clip of the Day. Something about Caitlin Clark. We'll get into it. Also, the dynamic between Joker and Jamal. How tight is that bond? Would he go to bat for his guy? And one more note. What could have been? Apparently, the Nuggets were very interested in drafting and trading for the pick to draft Luka Doncic back in 2018. What could have been? Clip of the day coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.